written a title on the board. It says, "When Our Eyes Do Not See." So when you look around this morning, what is it you see? When you look at circumstances of life, how does it look? What do you see? When you look at your personal situations, how are things? What is it you see? When you look at physical conditions, what do you see? See circumstances? You see what a doctor might have told you? You see statistics of what normally happens? What do you see when we look on the congregation and we say, what's the future? What do you see? What do you see in your relationships this morning? Husbands and wives and young folks and children with people that you relate with. What do you see? How are things? I'd like to read to you a scripture over in 2 Kings in the 6th chapter. Very familiar passage of scripture. And it's talking about Elisha, and the king of Syria was going out to war against the Israelites. And every time he made a plan, it was thwarted by something. It was circumvented by some way, and the king of Syria was getting very frustrated. Because here I'm trying to, he made a plan, and he was going to camp, and he was going to catch the Israelites, and then something happened that the Israelites did not go that way. And it frustrated the king of Syria, and it was because there was a prophet by the name of Elisha, and he came to the king of Israel and said, the Syrians are going to be over here, so don't go that way. And so the king of Syria started asking questions. Why? How do they know my plans? And in verse 12, it said, one of his servants said, my lord, he said, O King Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. In other words, the things that you're speaking in secret. All of your plans that you're trying to keep secret to go against the king of Israel, there is a prophet that's disclosing all of your plans. And he said, go and spy where he is that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he's in Dothan. So he sent horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And he said, his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? So the king of Syria sent a large host of chariots and horses to capture Elisha. And so when the servant of Elisha got up the next morning and looked out, he saw that the city was surrounded by the enemy. Thus the question this morning, what do you see? When you look at your life, when you look at the realities, some say, well, I'm not trying to be pessimistic, but I'm just looking at reality. I'm just looking at the statistics. I'm just looking at the reality of what's going on around about. What do your eyes see this morning? What are going to be the outcomes based on what you see? If you looked out on the city and you saw that it was surrounded by a great host of the enemy, would you not too be saying, alas, what shall we do? There's no way out. There's no way to circumvent the enemy now. They've got us. Relationship problems. This is the way that it is. Just going to have to live with it. Alas, what are we going to do? So what do you see this morning? I'm thankful that's not the end of the story. It goes on, he asked his master, what do we do? And Elisha answered and said, fear not. So what do you see this morning? If things look bleak to you,
If things look bleak in your home, if things look bleak in your financial situations, if things look bleak physically, if things look bleak in relationships, if things look bleak for the future of the congregation, if things look bleak, fear not. Fear not. Because he said here, those that be with us are more than they that be with them. Now what did he mean? So Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes. Open the eyes of my servant that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, he saw something he hadn't seen before. It said the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire around about Elisha. It was a multitude of heavenly hosts that was far greater than the enemy, than what the Assyrians had. There were far more angels. There were far more heavenly hosts. Those that be with us are more than those that be with them. So what do you see this morning? If you love God and your desire is to please the Lord, those that be with us are more than those that be with them. When the enemy looks like he has surrounded you and it seems like you are in an impossible situation, and your eyes only see the enemy, your eyes only see the obstacle, your eyes only see the problem in the relationship, your eyes only see the statistics. When our eyes do not see the heavenly host, when our eyes do not see the chariots of God, when our eyes do not see the power of God, it's still there this morning. When your eyes do not see the servant, all he could see was the enemy. But the angel of the Lord was still there. The horses from heaven were still there. The power of God was still there, and it was greater than the Syrians. When your eyes do not see God, may I encourage you this morning to fear not. Because those that are with us are more than those that are with them. God is a God who defies statistics. God is a statistic breaker. God is one that can mend relationships and work miracles in homes and families when it seems there is no way out. We serve a God this morning that is still parting the Red Sea. As the children of Israel came to the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army was behind them and the Red Sea in front of them, alas, what shall we do? The power of God is still there. When our eyes do not see God, and the Lord opened up the way, and not only did he open up a way through the Red Sea, he took care of Pharaoh's army too, didn't he? So what is it that you see this morning? If your eyes are open and you look at the problems that all of us have in life, none of us are exempt from problems of life. Serving the Lord does not make you exempt, but don't misunderstand. The enemy will come and say, well, you ought to just give up God. Guess what? Your problems will be greater. If you think walking away from God and you think walking away from a life of holiness is going to make your life better, it's a lie from the devil. But if you will follow the Lord and embrace a life of holiness, embrace the power of Jesus Christ, he will walk with you and empower you to make it through the Red Seas. He'll make a way over the mountain. He'll make a way through the valley. He will be with you in the fire. But when your eyes do not see it, and it seems like that maybe your faith is ebbing out just a little bit, and it seems like you're just being a realist because this is the way it is, we serve a God that is greater than what our eyes see. There is a power with God this morning that can do for you in your life. And if I've said it once, I've said it 100 times. Here. He can do for you what you cannot do for yourself. That's the power of God. And sometimes we allow our emotions and our feelings to dictate our behaviors. Sometimes we allow our moods and our emotions to be dictated by the things that we see. The enemy is surrounding us. What shall we do? Lord, open their eyes. May our eyes be open this morning that we would behold the power of God. But when my eyes do not see, may I walk by faith and not by sight. When I look at the circumstances and I say, I don't know what to do, and I'm looking for the chariots of the Lord. I'm looking for the power of God. I'm looking to see where the Lord is greater than the obstacles. And I don't even see the Lord. Has He left us? Has God forsaken His people this morning? A resounding no, He has not forsaken His people. And that is why the Scripture says we walk by faith and not by sight. Because when my eyes do not see, I still have a Heavenly Father. When my eyes do not see God, He is still there. When I do not see a way through the Red Sea, the Lord is still going to make a way in the right time, in the right way. We cannot put God in a box this morning. Well, Lord, You did this here that way, so Lord, You've got to do it again. No, He has a new plan, but He will make a way. In your temptation, when your eyes do not see a way to escape, the Lord is still making a way out. He is still making a way to overcome temptation. In the problems that seem insurmountable in your life this morning, when your eyes do not see where God is working, be encouraged to know He is still working. He has not forsaken His people. So the servant was feeling fear. Fear is a distressing emotion that's aroused by impending danger, evil, or pain, whether the threat is real or imagined. Fearful. I'm fearful of what's going to happen because I don't see a way out. But when my eyes do not see, those that be with us are more than those that be with them. God is still working this morning. When He did not see, it did not change the reality of the presence of God. Let me say that again. When the servant could not see, it did not change the reality of the presence of God. In your life, with the things that you face, with the challenges that are before you this morning, and it seems like you don't know what to do, and you don't know where to go, and you don't know how you look at, and you don't know how there's any possibility of things being different, it does not change the reality of the presence of God, because He is still there. Over in Daniel, the third chapter, we read about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego being thrown into the fiery furnace. And you remember when Nebuchadnezzar looked in the fiery furnace, what did he see? He saw a fourth man. And he said, did not we throw three in the furnace? But behold, I see a fourth man who looked like who? The Son of God. I don't know how Nebuchadnezzar knew that. But somehow, he saw the fourth man, and he saw that it appears, it's like the Son of Man, the Son of God, rather, is walking in there. There's a fourth man in the furnace. But here's the thing. I know that they came out, and they were not bound up anymore. They came out of the fire without the smell of smoke. Their bonds had been taken off or burned off, however God did it. But I wondered this, and I'm not going to argue with you on it, okay? If you have a different opinion, it's fine. But I would present to you a thought. Who was it that saw the fourth man? Who was it? It was the king. It was Nebuchadnezzar. I wondered as I meditated on that, I wondered if Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego saw the fourth man. We kind of assume he did. They did. We kind of make that assumption, but it is an assumption, is it not? It was the king that saw the fourth man. Is it possible this morning that in your trial, when you feel like you're in the fire by yourself, others can look on and see the fourth man in your fire? Is it possible that people can look when you are struggling and you are wanting to please the Lord, but you're in the fire? Is it possible that when you're looking around saying, Lord, I believe you can deliver me, but if not, and I don't really see where you're at, God, that others can look on and see the Son of Man working in your life even when your eyes don't see Him? Is it possible? It was the king that saw the fourth man. May I encourage you again this morning that God, that Jesus Christ is still in the fire. When your eyes do not see Him, when my eyes do not see Him, I want my faith to take hold that I live my life not based upon the things that I see. That I live my life not based on the way that I feel. That I don't live my life based upon circumstances and statistics in what someone told me. But I want to base my life on my faith in the Son of the living God who is able to do all things. When I don't understand the why of His way, may I say, Lord, I will still follow Your path. I don't want to be guided by what my eyes see, because there are times when our eyes do not see. And then sometimes the Lord takes the veil off our eyes and we see that God was there all the time. So what does that mean in your trial this morning? It means God is still there. It means God is still there in the fire. Jesus promised us. One of the last things that Jesus promised His disciples in the 28th chapter of Matthew, in the 20th verse, He said, Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. That's what He said. I'm with you always. So does that mean we're always going to see Him? Jesus promised to be with us. So when our eyes do not see, may we know this morning by faith that Jesus is with us. He also said, I will never leave thee nor what? Nor forsake thee. But what about when I don't see Him? What about when I don't feel God? Are we being driven by feelings? Are we being driven by just what these eyes, these earthly eyes see? No, may we open up our spiritual eyes and know that God is there. And I don't see Him right now. But I know He's there because He promised to walk with His children. Yea, through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Why? Because Thou art with me. Even though we go through tough times, the Lord has promised to be with us. So David expressed something over in Psalm 13 in the first verse. Psalm 13 and 1. David said, How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? I won't ask for a show of hands this morning, but have you ever thought God forgot you? Seemed like one, it seemed like you were blessing this one and you were working over here, but it seemed like you kind of passed me by, Lord. How long are you going to forget me, Lord? It seems like I'm in the fire by myself. It seems like I'm going through the valley alone. It seems like I'm fording the river and no one's with me, and there's no boat. There's no safety. Lord, how long are you going to forget me? Forever? That's what David said. Lord, how long wilt thou forget me? Forever? I mean, that's how it feels. Feels like it's been a long time, Lord, and I haven't seen you, and I'm not seeing you work. Lord, why are you forgetting me? Is this the way it's always going to be? He said, How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? When someone hides their face, you know it starts to acknowledge that they're still there? How long are you going to hide your face? How many times have you played peekaboo with a young child? Peekaboo. Most of us have done that, haven't we? I don't know if they laugh at us when we play with a child, when we play peekaboo. I don't know if they laugh because they really think we disappear. They think we're being foolish, but we have a good time doing it, don't we? But when we cover their eyes, And we teach them to cover their eyes so they don't see us. Have we disappeared? Because their eyes don't see us. Have we disappeared? We're still there. Do you realize it's the same way with God this morning? When our eyes are covered and we don't see, He's still there. He hasn't left us. David was feeling very alone. And he was feeling very forsaken. And you know, there are times that we go through life that we're going to have some lonely times. There's going to be some times that it feels like that God has forsaken us. But feelings are not reality. No one said amen that I heard. But I hope you're saying it inside. Feelings are not reality. Feelings are just, it's what I'm, it's my emotions. It's what's drawing on my flesh based upon something inside of me. Sometimes based upon what I see. And I feel based on what I see. But as children of God, we should not be living on feelings. We're still going to have them, but we shouldn't be driven by them. That's why we live by faith. Does everyone here always feel saved and on the mountaintop? Did everybody, when we sang that song, Raining in This Life, did everybody just feel that well enough and thank God I'm raining on top of the mountain? Did everyone feel that this morning? Maybe you didn't feel like it, but are you raining? What sin did you commit this week? If you committed sin, you need to be saved this morning. But if you're saved, you can say, I'm raining. Yes, I had some things that the Lord was working on me, but I didn't commit a moral violation that separated me from God. I kept my heart right before the Lord. I'm raining, thank the Lord. I don't always feel like it, but are we? Maybe sometimes you don't feel saved. I just don't feel saved. What do feelings have to do with it? Have you been forgiven of your sin? Are you still following the Lord? Is your heart to still please Him? Have you gone back to the sin that you used to do before you were delivered? Are you still living free from that? Then you're still saved. And I may not feel like it, but that's the reason why the scripture says they overcame him, the enemy, by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their life unto death. In spite of what I see, in spite of how I feel, I know what God has done in my life. And I'm going to testify to it. And that's our victory. Because when our eyes do not see, God is still there. Thank the Lord for that. So David was feeling very alone. Similarly, and we won't take the time to read it, most of you know the passage over in the book of Job, in the 23rd chapter of Job, verses 8 to 12. Remember when Job was looking for God, he also was feeling forsaken. And so he said, I went forward and God wasn't there. And I couldn't perceive him. I went backward and I didn't perceive him. And I looked on the left hand where he works and I couldn't behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand. And I can't see him. But Job went on to say that he knoweth the way that I take. I don't see God. My eyes don't see him, and I looked in front, and I looked behind me, and I looked at the left, and God works over on the left, and he wasn't there. And I looked on the right where he is, and I did not see him there either, but he knows the way that I take. How did he know? Because of faith that I know God has not left me. God is still there when I can't see him. And so then Job went on to say, and I want to read this as it is written. He said, my foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I've esteemed his words of his mouth more than the necessary food. In other words, I don't see God right now, but I'm going to keep being obedient. I'm looking around for God because I don't see him, but I'm going to still keep the commandments. I'm going to still keep following the path of righteousness. Folks, when we don't see God, is not time to deviate from the Word of God. When we don't see God working, is not the time to compromise. When we don't see God working, it's not the time to let down. When we don't see God, it's time to do just what Job did and say, Lord, I don't see you. And you have left me. I'm suffering here. And I'm looking around and I don't understand why you're doing what you're doing, Lord. But you know where I'm at and I'm going to keep the commandments. I'm going to keep following you when my eyes do not see. May I challenge you this morning that when your eyes do not see God, do not let down on the Word of God. Do not let down on truth. Do not compromise and think, well, I'll just go do something else. You will for sure walk away from God when you do that. I want to, even when I do not see God, I know His way. He gave it to us. So Lord, when I don't see you and I don't feel you and I don't perceive you and I don't experience you and it just seems like the enemies are arrayed around me, Lord, I'm going to keep doing what's right. And the Lord will still make a way because He is still there. He is still there. So I would like to close chapter 2 Corinthians in the 4th chapter. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the 15th verse, as was spoken of this morning. Janet mentioned this passage. All things are for your sake. Wow. What do you see this morning? All things are for your sake. That the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. We're not giving up. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen. I'm not going to just look at the things my eyes can see, the statistics, the normal outcomes, what someone said, what normally happens, the enemy that's surrounding me. But He said, we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are not seen are temporal, but the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. When we do not see, God is still there. When our eyes cannot see, God is still working. And when we don't know where God is, His presence is still there. If you can imagine going to a symphony and you see all the different people with their instruments and the conductor raises His hand and He's ready to start, and all of a sudden the lights go out. It's pitch black. And you can't see anybody, and all of a sudden the music begins to play. And where before you like to look at the people and see how they're playing their instruments and see their expressions, yet you cannot see them, and yet you hear the music. You know, the Lord wants us, although we cannot see Him, to focus in by faith on who and what He is this morning. I don't know every mountain that you are facing, but I do know God gave me this message for us here this morning. When my eyes do not see and I don't feel Him, He is still there. Let's stay faithful. Let's be encouraged. And He will make a way to escape, because those that be with us are more than those that be with Him.